I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line, Selling Secrets, Connect UVP with Style. My name is Dana Baroka. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. We'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to help raise the hiring bar and improve staff interaction, and to assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, both domestically and globally, executive onboarding for success, leadership training for the 21st century, exploring global options for expanding your business, sales and customer service training, which, of course, is our guest today is the senior consultant for that area, and operational productivity improvement. Each of our programs helps to avoid getting stuck in shallow water so our clients can have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is a response to a number of calls we get from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas you'll want to consider and implement with your team and talk about with your trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Patrick McClure, who is a close friend, outstanding business person. He's actually brilliant, who is one of our senior sales and customer service training consultants at Lighthouse Consulting Services. He's a speaker, trainer, consultant, author who has enjoyed working with individuals and corporations to help them achieve maximum performance. He has dedicated his practice to helping others to become successful. Pat's going to have some amazing ideas. You'll want to share them with your team and take lots of notes, and you're going to get a recording of this and the slides at the end of the program, so you'll be able to listen to Patrick over and over again. I feel privileged to have Pat with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. We're doing a special program in 2 days. It's called Release Stress Before the Holidays. Patrick, welcome to Open Line.
Thank you, Dana. I hope I can match up to that sterling introduction. All right. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to cover today. Welcome. I'm delighted that you're joining us for our webinar, our monthly webinar. And we're going to be talking about two of my favorite topics. We're going to be talking about your unique value proposition, otherwise known as your what is it that you sell that is really unique that people are going to buy. We're going to talk about how you really frame that, and we're also going to talk about how do you communicate that to unique different social styles. And so what we've done is we've blended two topics together for this particular webinar, and I think you'll enjoy what comes out of it. So let's just get moving right now. The first thing that you need to understand about your unique value proposition is they're pretty much based upon your core competencies. And as you can see on your screen, there are many areas of core competencies that my clients and my customers have isolated. Here are some of them. Sometimes companies focus upon quality. They brag about, well, we're the best. We're top quality. Ford is number one. They can brag about their culture or their people. They say, we have the best people, and we deliver the best products. They can brag about their technology. It's like, we have leading-edge technology no one else has. They can brag about their capacity or their resources. But every company, if they're in business, understands that they have a competency that really kind of distinguishes them. And your unique value proposition is going to be in the area of your core competencies. And so once you've got those things isolated, then the next thing you need to do is you need to go into, based upon that core competency, what exactly does that mean? And there's a very, very simple chart that I've put here on the screen in front of you. The left side says feature, the middle says benefit, and the right side says value. And this is so critical in terms of selling, because if you don't understand exactly your features and your benefits and your value, you will not be able to sell very well. One of the biggest mistakes that I see salespeople make is they go out and they talk too much about their features, and they just bore the snot out of their clients or their prospects by talking feature, 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 feature. And one thing you need to understand is customers really are not that interested in features. They get more interested in benefits, but they really get interested, and they will purchase and they will buy from you if you can really clearly communicate the value that you deliver. As an example, you see on front of the screen, a feature might be if you were going to go buy a car. The feature would be you'd take a look at the sticker on the car and all the different things that are written on there, and I've just picked out one. Generally, cars will tell you how many miles per gallon you're going to get with that car. And it might say it gets 45 miles to the gallon. That's a feature. A benefit would be, well, what does that mean? What will that do for you? Well, it means that you will be able to go about 500 miles on a tank of gas. And that's interesting, but what's more important is the value. What that really means to the consumer is that if you buy this car, you're going to save $2,000 a year on gas. And if you can ever get your product down to a unique value, that's where people buy. Because guess what? Value is personal. What is valuable to you may not be valuable to your prospect. So it's very important to work with your prospect and make sure that you tune your product and the value to them and the individual.
Hey, Pat, we have a question that came in. And again, I want to encourage everyone we make this an interactive program. The question is, are there different types of values?
Yes, there are. And it's kind of a scale. Value is, it starts off with pretty much intangible, and then it moves to tangible, and then it moves to concrete. An intangible might be that if people that use our software see an increase in their performance. A tangible might be, well, if you use our software, you're going to be able to get your reports out 30% faster. And a concrete value might be, if you use our software, you're going to save $7,000 a year in increased productivity, or you're going to be that much more productive. So the most important type of value is where you can get it down to a concrete value. And you can say, well, there's a lot of things that are very difficult to nail down, but you can always nail down, you can always take a value and really drill down into a concrete value. And so those are different types of values. And did that answer that?
No, that's perfect. Thank you.
Excellent. All right, well, let's move on to the next slide here. All right, so once you've figured out your features, your benefits, and value, now you need to go to the next step, which is, what is actually unique about the product or the service that you deliver? And unique means that no one else has it. It's completely or it's very, very rare. And it's important to understand, if you're going to go to somebody and you say, I want you to buy my widgets, they're thinking, well, what's in it for me? Always. And so what you need to do is you need to answer that question, because otherwise there's no reason for them to buy. And so here's a simple five-step process. Once you've decided what your unique, what is really, really your unique value, you need to put it into a format. If you're describing this to somebody, say you're at a networking meeting or you're being introduced, you would want to say who you are, where you work, right? You would want to say, well, what does your company do and what value do you bring to the table? And the next thing would be, okay, so this is what we do that's valuable, but what's unique about that? And by the way, if you have difficulty figuring out what's unique about your product, then you might want to ask your customers or your clients, because they're going to be the ones that are going to tell you what's unique. A couple examples of this. For instance, if you think about a large company, Walmart, what comes to mind? What comes to mind for most people is that that's the best bargains. That's the cheapest thing that they can, because of their company, I'm going to get the best buy. And that's what Walmart is famous for. That makes them unique. Another one might be Nordstrom's. Nordstrom's is legendary for what? Great service. Great service. If you buy something there, even if you buy something from another store, they'll happily take it back, and they're known and they're legendary for terrific service. So these are uniquenesses that are going into the unique value proposition. So when you describe this to your clients, you want to talk about who you are, where you work, what do you do, what value to bring to the table, what's unique about what you do. Then you can go into who your typical customer is, and then you can talk about, all right, so why is it that companies do business with you? Now, here's the golden gems. What you need to do is write this down and then say it to your mirror or your wife or your dog or whoever's going to listen to you, and get it down to where it's very easy for you to say. Another way of looking at this is some people call this the elevator speech. But you need to be able to articulate this in a very short period of time so that it has maximum impact. And oftentimes what people say is, this could be a 30-second commercial. Although, I don't know of any elevators that actually, the people don't go on elevators for 30 seconds. They're on them for a lot longer. But the point is that you want to practice this unique value proposition so that it just rolls off. So when you're, for instance, in a networking meeting, you can say, well, this is who I am, this is the value that I bring to the table, and why company do business with me, and what's important. My typical customer is blah, blah, and why people do business with us is blah. And so if you can articulate that very quickly to people, then people will be very impressed, not only that you can talk about your product, but also that you will communicate with their value. Because the reason is...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
A question came in. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to talk about what's unique. Is there a when and where that you'd use the UVP to make it a natural flow of things?
Yeah, that's a good question. It kind of alludes to it on this slide, but essentially when you're sitting down with somebody, the first thing you need to do is obviously build some trust and rapport. You don't want to just sit down with somebody and say, well, you want to do business with me because blah, 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 right? That is really a violation of the selling process. A selling process has a logical flow, and the first step of that is to build some sort of trust and rapport. In other words, establish communication. So once you have some level of trust and rapport with people, I always advise the next thing is to start off with some questions to find out more about the other person, right? It's much easier to get the conversation started and find out what's important to them. And then once you find out what's important to them and what their issues are, what their concerns are, whatever, now you can take the value that your product brings to the table, and you can relate it to what's important to them.
Gotcha. Okay, that's perfect.
So as you see on this slide, it says, listen to them first. Find out what makes them important or special, right? Your attention on them makes you more valuable, and then they feel like you're a good guy. And so now they will tell you more about what their challenges are, and once they've done that, the next step in the sequence is, all right, now you can present them with what your actual value proposition is.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Does that make sense?
Yep, that's perfect.
Okay, great. So bottom line on this is that you need to spend time. I advise my clients to actually sit down with their company brochure or their website and do the chart that we saw a couple slides back. Big chart. Do features on the left, benefits in the middle, value on the right-hand side, and write down all of the product features that you can think of. And then from each one of those, you want to do the benefit, and then you want to spend time on the value. So you can actually spend a couple hours on this where you really drill down, and then once you've got the values, now you want to have a discussion among your team on what really makes our, what's really valuable, why do people buy? And if you really want to get sneaky on this, start asking your customers. You know, have you ever asked a customer, well, we appreciate your business, but could you tell me, could you share with us, what exactly was it about our product or service that made you decide to buy it? And you might be amazed at the answers. You know, and there's kind of an unwritten and unknown rule in here. People buy from people that they trust and respect. So that's where you're building trust and rapport up front is so important. So that's pretty much covering at a very surface level features, benefits, and value, and what your unique value proposition is and why it's important. Bottom line is that people buy from people they trust and respect, and they buy because there is something that you're communicating to them that is valuable to them. And once you've got that figured out, then now you're way ahead of the game, because most salespeople don't really have that nailed down. All right, so let's move on to the second part, and this is where it gets very interesting. Once you've figured out what your value is, your unique value proposition, now let's fine-tune how you communicate that. There are various types of social personalities. There's a great book that was written in 1981 by Merrill and Reed. It's called Personal Styles and Effective Performance. And what that laid out is the four basic styles that people have. This is how people operate. And it's very easy for you to understand these things about yourself and also to make some very good judgments about the people that you're going to deal with. And once you understand the type of personality that you're dealing with, it becomes a lot easier to communicate the value that you bring to the table. And essentially, the four styles are analytical, driver, amiable, and expressive. And we're going to go to a chart that's going to show you a little bit more about what these are. Hopefully, Dana, is that chart, can you see that clearly on the broadcast?
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
Okay, so basically what you've got in front of you is you have four quadrants. Upper left is the analytical style. Upper right is the driver style. Lower left is amiable, and lower right is expressive. Everybody, by the way, this is not your personality. This is your working style. This is the style that you choose to interact with other people with, and it's the style that you're most comfortable with. If we take a look at the top left, an analytical person focuses on facts and logic. They are very, this is typically people that are accountants or numbers people. These are the numbers people. An example might be kind of like a Bill Gates type personality. Somebody that's super analytical, they orient their world around facts and figures. On the right-hand side is the driver style, and this is somebody that is a fast decision maker. They orient around facts and figures, but they're more people-focused. They focus on results. They're a take-charge person. They make quick decisions. They like challenges. An example of this might be a Donald Trump, somebody that's really a leader and a decision maker. So those are the two top quadrants. Now, below that are where you start to go to the lower two, you start to get into people that are more people-directed. They're more responsive. On the left-hand side, you might have the amiable type personality. This is the personality that is very warm, friendly, good team player, oriented around what's good for all of us. They're very supportive, very trusting, very cooperative. They're an amiable type personality. And about 80% of the people in the world are in this category. If you go to the lower right, you get to the expressive. The expressive, again, is now they're, again, they're people-oriented, but they're more tell. Their tendency is to talk more. And this would be somebody like a Robin Williams, somebody that's really super expressive. They love telling stories. They're more excited. They share their ideas, their dreams, and they're very, very upfront. So the quadrants up on top, the top two personalities tend to be more oriented around tasks or facts and figures, and the lower two personalities tend to be more responsive. On the left quadrant, you have people that are more prone to ask, and on the right quadrant, the people are more prone to tell. So that gives you some basic guidelines on the types of personalities. By the way, there is a really simple test. We don't have time to do it, but there's a really simple test that you can request. Just send me an email or call me up and ask for the test, and it's free. We can get it to you. It's about 30 questions, and there's a little score sheet. You can take the test, and it only take about 10 minutes, and that will tell you where you fit in these quadrants. It's important to understand what your own personality style, your working style is, so that you understand more about yourself and you understand your strengths and weaknesses.
And Pat's email is on the screen there, and it's patrick@lighthouseconsulting.com, and Pat's phone number is there also. So just drop an email. We'll get that off to you. You can spend some time debriefing over it, too.
Yeah. It's really intriguing when you start looking at the customer's style and you start looking at how do you assess their styles. And if you go back to the chart that we're looking at, assessing your customer's style, you really need to understand two things. And you can do this either face-to-face or you can do this over the phone. You need to understand two things. Are they asserting their needs, wants, and opinions a lot? And are they expressing their feelings and emotions a lot or a little? Because, remember, the first thing you need to understand is are they oriented around facts and figures and actions, i.e. they're either analytical or driver, or are they more oriented around people? And are they, you know, how warm and friendly are they, right? And so that's top or bottom. And then the other factor to look at is, are they assertive? How assertive are they? And the way you determine that is somebody who starts a conversation or dominates a conversation or is always the one that's talking is more tell-directed. And somebody who is more quiet and listening, that's more ask-directed. And so assertiveness is on the right-hand side, they're tell-directed, and on the left-hand side, they're ask-directed. So, and again, if you're a driver, let's take a look at it. If you're a driver, you're more task-oriented and you're more tell-oriented, i.e., you're going to make decisions and you're going to tell people about it. If you're an expressive, right, you're going to be talking a lot, but you're going to not be so much the decision maker, but you're going to be motivating and inspiring. If you're an amiable, you're going to be sitting back and listening, but you're going to be real warm and friendly. If you're an analytical, you're going to be sitting back and listening, but you're going to be judging, and you're going to be looking at facts and figures a lot. So it's important when you're working with your customers to kind of ask some questions and kind of get a feel for where they fit on the assertive scale and where they fit on the responsive scale. And there's a tremendous amount of work that's gone into this. This is just a real surface view, but it gives you a kind of an idea on quickly figuring out whether somebody is analytical, whether they're a driver, whether they're an amiable or an expressive. And once you understand the type of personality style they have, now you can reach the next stage, which is really where the money is. I say that advisedly and also directly, because when you're in sales, one of the things that you really need to do is you need to understand somebody else's style, and then you need to be able to sell to that style.
Question is, how long does it take to assess a customer's style? Typically,
good
we
question.
We all make judgment calls.
Yeah, it. If you're really good at it, you can judge and assess probably within 20 or 30 seconds.
Hmm.
It's based upon how, if you're in a conversation with somebody, you can look at how animated their faces are. There's some interesting things. If you're looking at assertiveness, right, a couple of things about assertiveness. You can look at the pace of their speech. Do they speak fast, right? Do they lead the conversation? Do they have a loud voice or do they have a quiet voice? They're assertive. The more assertive they are, the more loud they're going to be, the more fast they're going to talk. So those are really assertive. Whereas less assertive is slower and less talking. Whereas there's some nonverbals on assertive where an assertive person might use their hands more. They might point more. They might lean forward. They make direct contact, right? They're more assertive. They're more in your face, I guess is a good way to describe it, versus more reserved is less assertive. And then the responsive clues are if they have a very, very animated voice, if they talk a lot about people, if they use opinions and stories, then they tend to be verbally more responsive versus if they're speaking and they're speaking more in a monotone and they stay focused on facts and data, then they're less people-oriented. The nonverbals, your nonverbals, your more responsive people are going to be more touchy-feely, more friendly, more casual, more animated, whereas your less responsive people are going to be a little bit more controlled, a little bit more reserved, a little bit more rigid. And so when you go into, a meeting or you're talking to somebody over the phone, you want to ask yourself, is this person, do they have an animated voice? Do they get excited or are they more conservative and reserved, right? If they're really conservative and reserved, then that tells you, then they're probably either an analytical or a driver. If they're really, really animated and they talk a lot over the phone or whatever and they have a lot of inflection in their voice, then that tells you they're probably either an expressive or an amiable, right? So it's, and then once you've got those things figured out, then you can go on the other side. So there's a lot of different clues that people drop. The other thing is people are far more intuitive than they give themselves credit for. Once you've understood this, you can take a look at, well, does this person look like a driver? Or does this person look like an expressive or whatever? And it doesn't take a long time. Again, long-winded answer. You can probably tell I'm an expressive. it really doesn't take that long to figure this out. So did that answer your question, Dana?
That's great. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. So did we have, let me just pause here. Did we have any questions coming in from the audience? I think they're able to dial them in or they're able to type them out.
Type them in. We're doing good so far.
Okay, good. All right, want to make sure if there's any questions coming in, we're answering them. All right, so let's go to one of the most important parts of this presentation.
Pat, you brought up a very good point there. Sure. There'll be a lot of people listening to this from various associations in the future. If you have questions at any time around this topic, please give Patrick a call or drop him an email. He'll be more than happy to spend time with you on the phone or correspond.
Great. Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's talk about how do we connect your unique value proposition to their style. So right now, you've already given a good thought to your unique value proposition. You maybe could do some more work with it, but let's just pick out a unique value proposition that you have. And the idea is, how do you relate that to the style of the person that you're dealing with? So, for instance, if you were dealing with a driver and you wanted to deliver your unique value proposition, how would you do that? So you have to think about this. A driver, keep in mind, a driver makes decisions fast. They take charge. They like challenge. They focus on results. Okay? So if you wanted to communicate your unique value proposition to a driver-type personality, you would naturally want to make sure that you're focused your unique value proposition on results. So when you're describing your unique value proposition, you can say, well, Mr. Customer, you know, our customers do business with us because we get results. And we get results in one of two ways, bang, 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 right? That's the other thing with the driver that's interesting. You want to give them a couple choices because guess what? The driver wants to make the decision. So you give them a couple choices, and they're happy because then they get to make the decision. But again, remember with a driver, if you have a meeting with a driver, you want to get right to the point. The driver is very impatient. Think about Donald Trump. Whenever anybody communicated with him, if they started to wander around, he brought them right back to the point. Drivers like people that are right in your face, facts and figures, decisions, and get right to the point. All right, now let's take a look about an amiable. Let's suppose that you wanted to make friends with an amiable. You wanted to do the first step. You wanted to build trust and rapport. How would you do that? Well, a handshake and a nice smile would be absolutely wonderful with an amiable because they're a warm, friendly, cooperative, trusting person. Okay? So these are the type of people that were really warm to you if you smile and if you shake hands and you start talking about the values of your company and what's important and asking their opinion on what's important to them, i.e., again, cooperative, amiable, friendly type person. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of those people aren't executives. But anyway, that's how you would build trust and rapport with an amiable. All right, so the next one is an analytical. This is an interesting one. In my selling career, I've sold to a lot of analyticals because I tend to be in the area of selling technical solutions. And a lot of the people that I deal with are facts and figures, super technical people. They're engineers, they're scientists, they're attorneys, whatever. And they're sitting back, judging, looking at the facts, and making decisions based upon analytical. And so if you're delivering your value proposition to an analytical, guess what? They love facts and figures. So if you were selling to an analytical, guess what? You hit them with a couple of reports. They love charts. They love graphs. They love figures. They love ROI, return on investment. They want the data, the data, the data, the data. They don't care about the stories. They want the data. And they want to make a decision based upon logic. And so with an analytical, you want to give them as much data as they need in order to make their decision. And again, since they're on the top side, they orient around facts and figures. You don't want to waste their time with a lot of human stuff. They want the data. And so get them the data, and they'll be happy. Your fourth style is the expressive style, and this is the person that loves to talk and chat, share stories, and this is the person that you can bond with very easily over lunch or a cup of coffee. Building trust and rapport with an expressive should be pretty easy, especially if you're another expressive, right? But building trust and rapport with an expressive, they love stories, they love jokes, they love to have fun. And so if you're dealing with connecting your UVP to their style, what you want to do is you want to tell them a success story. If you're dealing with an expressive and you want to impress them with your company, you want to tell them two or three stories about customers of yours that had a great experience and what their story was. Because an expressive loves stories. They like to be inspired. They want ideas. They want dreams. And so when you're meeting with an expressive, in order to build trust and rapport, that's how you do it. You want to stay on that line. An expressive, you would not start talking to an expressive with facts and figures. They don't care about facts and figures. They care about people and they care about stories. So once you understand the type of personality that you're dealing with, that gives you the ideal entry point into how to communicate with them, how to build rapport, and how to build your unique value proposition. All right. A couple tips on working styles. We all have the ability to be a camouflage. We can all be analyticals or drivers or amiables or expressives. Remember that when you're doing a unique value proposition or you're doing a sales proposition, you want to have a little bit in your sales presentation that appeals to anybody. So depending upon who's in the audience, you want to have some, you want to have facts and figures, you want to have some stories, you want to have some really results orientation, and then you want to talk about how our culture fits with your culture, right? So you want to make sure to use elements from each style. As you'll see when you, if you request a test, which is free, by the way, and you can request it, just send me an email, patrick@lighthouseconsulting.com, or my my phone number there, and you can request a test. It will tell you your preferred style, but it will also give you some ideas about your backup style. And the other thing is that you, for maximum effectiveness, you want to make sure to change your approach to match the style. I'll give you an example. I have a new client that I'm just starting to work with, and she's an executive of a $30 million company. And in my first meeting, I figured out very quickly that she was a driver. And so when I presented a proposal to this executive, I presented her with two proposals. I said, well, you can do with choice A or you can go with choice B. Since she was a driver, she loved it, and she chose one of the proposals. If I had gone to her, and this is a characteristic of a driver, if I had gone to her with one proposal, she would have disagreed with it and suggested changes and whatever, because that's what a driver does. A driver does not want anybody else to make the decision. They want to make the decision, right? So you give them choices. So that's an example. I have sold to expressives where I went in and I sold, I walked in and I said, before I start talking, let me tell you about a funny story and build trust and rapport with an expressive. I've gone into meetings with an analytical and I just walked in with a report and I dropped it on their desk and I said, I'll tell you what, why don't you read this and I'll get back to you tomorrow and we'll talk about it. An analytical loves that. They don't want to be bothered with people. They want to have a chance to look at the data. So once you understand the style of the person that you're dealing with, now you can build trust and rapport with them, and you can improve your hit rate on your sales.
That's phenomenal, Patrick. Wow. Question. Which style is the most difficult to sell to?
The difficult style is the opposite one to which one you're at. Let me explain that. If you take a look at the diagonals, an expressive will have difficulty dealing with an analytical. And an amiable will have difficulty dealing with a driver. If you take a look at it, a driver wants to just make decisions. An amiable, right, is an amiable avoids making decisions. A driver makes decisions, right? So if an amiable is dealing with a driver, there's a conflict. If an expressive is dealing with an analytical, there's a conflict there because an expressive loves to tell stories, loves to orient around people, very warm, friendly, blah, blah, blah. An analytical doesn't care about any of that, right? So an expressive oftentimes has problems dealing with an analytical. One of the biggest problems that most salespeople have, most of them fit in the expressive category, and so most of them want to tell the world about how great their product is. And that's okay, except if they're dealing with an analytical doesn't want to know how great your product is. They just want the facts. A driver doesn't want to know how great your product is. They want just a couple choices, and then they'll make the decision. An amiable wants to know how is it going to change their company, right? And how will it benefit the world, right? So each personality has pluses and minuses and strengths and weaknesses. So if you were a driver and you're selling, then you really have to take a look at modifying your style. But I don't think there's any style that's any more effective than any other.
Right.
And they all have their place. So the action item, and what I'd encourage you to do, is profile and plan. So here's your homework. Plan your next upcoming meeting or your conversation. And what you want to do is understand your customer's primary working style. And, you know, take a minute or two to really ask yourself, what type of style does this person have? And then once you understand the style, now you can understand what is your strategy for building rapport and to moving to the next step on your sales process. And I'm also a big fan, before I ever go on a sales call, and I do this myself and I do that also with my clients, I encourage them to, before you pick up that phone or before you, you know, go out on that call, I want you to write down what your objectives are for this meeting. And whatever that objective is, I want you to, at the end of the meeting, I want you to take a look at what you wrote down and ask yourself, did I achieve that? Because you either did or you didn't. It's very binary. And so put your objectives in writing. Understand the customer's primary working style, right? Evaluate where they're at. Plan your strategy for building rapport. And then go ahead and do your call. And then afterwards, review your results and say, okay, so how did that call go? Did I relate to their unique social personality, social style? Did I really articulate the value that I bring to the table, if that was my objective? And did I achieve the results that I set out to achieve on my call? And ask yourself that, because you're never going to be able to correct or improve unless you do that. All right, and finally, there's a great quote here from Norman Vincent Peale, getting people to like you is merely the other side of liking them. I find that the more you like what you do and the more you like the people that you deal with, the more that shines through. And and that's kind of like a universal thing. It shines through no matter what social style you have, because if you really are jazzed about what you're doing and you really enjoy people and you enjoy, you know, getting results, then that comes through. And so the whole point of doing this is to take the value that you deliver and how that will benefit the person you're dealing with, and making sure that you're getting through to them with the value and connecting with them. And so I'm a real fan of doing whatever is possible to connect. So a couple final things. Remember to request a copy of the Social Styles Test, which is a free thing that we'll email out to you. Just send me an email or call. If you'd like to find out more about this topic, Lighthouse Consulting, we take on clients, corporate clients, and we actually will go and we'll spend a half a day or a day, and we'll actually go into these topics in depth. We will help you drill down into exactly what your unique value proposition is, help you build a consensus around that. That also feeds into your marketing effort. And then we'll also work with you, test everybody on social styles, or there's an even more extensive test that Lighthouse can do, the 16PF personality test. But what we'll do is we'll work with you to make sure that the personalities that you're dealing with internally as well as externally can be optimized for maximum performance. So we do offer seminars and workshops for corporate clients. And so if this topic is of interest, results on this, by the way, sales performance statistics go out the roof when you start talking about salespeople being able to articulate clearly the unique value proposition and also the social style. Because guess what? People don't like to be confused. Your prospects like to have clear messages, and they like to make decisions. In order for them to make a decision, you really have to clearly communicate the value that you're bringing to the table. So if you're able to do this more effectively, you're going to see sales results just spiking out the roof. And I always tell people when I'm finishing up with my presentations, just get out there and sell. You've got a message, you've got a product, and you can change the world. So go out there and connect and do that.
Wow. Patrick, this was just a wow open line program. In just a few minutes after we conclude this show and turn off the recording, we'll be opening up the line so you'll have an opportunity to talk directly with Patrick. You'll see on your screen an area to register for next open line. Patrick, if you could push the slide one more forward there. You can register for the December 20th program, which is entitled Release Stress Before the Holidays. Please sign up today, reserve a space to yourself, and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Patrick and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Patrick to have further discussions on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together, or to discuss any of the ideas that were shared today, you'll see Patrick's contact information on the screen. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on any of our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Have a great day. Now hold the line. Let me turn the recording equipment off, and we're going to open the line up for Patrick.